Welcome to a deep dive into a case that really makes you think, Kemen v. American Express. It's all about the business judgment rule and how much power a company's board actually has.
Yeah, Kemen is a great example of how courts try to figure out, you know, what to do when a business makes a decision that seems, well, kind of questionable, especially when it seems like the shareholders are getting the short end of the stick.
Right. So the business judgment rule basically says the courts aren't going to get involved in second guessing a board's decision as long as there's no evidence of, like, bad faith, fraud, that kind of thing. But how did that actually work out in this specific case?
Well, back in the early 70s, American Express, Amex, bought nearly 2 million shares of another company, DLJ. They paid almost $30 million for them.
Okay, so a pretty substantial investment.
Yeah, but by 1975, the market had gone down, and those shares were worth, get this, only $4 million.
Ouch. So talk about a big loss.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think they'd just sell, right? Cut their losses.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? But nope. Instead of selling the shares, taking a capital loss, which would have given them a pretty nice tax break, Amex's board decided to, well, they gave those shares away as a special dividend to their shareholders.
They just gave away $4 million worth of stock.
Oh.
I mean, what was the logic there?
I know, right? The shareholders, including this couple named Kemen, were understandably furious. I mean, they saw it as just wasting corporate assets. So they sued the board. They argued, hey, sell the shares, take the tax benefit, use that money for something good for the company.
Seems pretty reasonable. So what did the court say? Did they agree?
Actually, no. The court sided with Amex. They said the business judgment rule applied here. They emphasized, look, our job isn't to decide if the board made the smartest business decision. Our focus is just on whether they acted honestly in good faith. And in this case, the court found, you know, no evidence of fraud or anything like that.
So even though giving away those shares cost Amex millions of dollars in potential tax savings, the court wouldn't step in.
Nope. They basically said, look, the board did their due diligence. They acted in what they believed was the best interest of the company, so it's not our place to second-guess them.
That's really interesting. I mean, it raises questions, though, right? About how much power a board should have versus protecting shareholder interests. Where's the balance?
Absolutely, and that's exactly what we'll dive into more in the next part of our deep dive. Welcome back. You know, picking up where we left off with Kemen v. American Express, this case really makes you think about, you know, the bigger picture of how corporations are governed.
Yeah, like we were talking about, the court basically gave Amex board a lot of leeway, even though giving away those shares cost the company a ton of money in potential tax savings. So it kind of begs the question, where do you draw the line between a board's right to make decisions and, you know, a shareholder's right to challenge those decisions?
That's the key question here, isn't it? Kemen really highlights this tension that's always there in corporate law, balancing what the board can do and making sure they're accountable to the shareholders.
Right. So break that down for us. Why do courts give boards this kind of broad protection?
Well, there's a few reasons. First off, courts get that running a business is complicated, right? There's tough choices, and you never know how things will turn out. They don't want to have to second guess every single decision a board makes, especially if they were acting in good faith.
Makes sense. Judges aren't exactly business experts.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the business judgment rule recognizes that boards are usually in a better position to make these calls than judges are. Plus, you know, giving boards this protection, it encourages them to take risks, to be innovative. If they were constantly worried about getting sued for every decision that didn't work out perfectly, they might not want to make those big, bold moves that could really benefit the company down the road.
Interesting point. You don't want to create a situation where boards are so afraid of getting in trouble that they never try anything new.
Exactly. And then there's the practical side of things, right? If shareholders could sue over every single board decision, the courts would be completely swamped. So the business judgment rule acts like a filter. It makes sure that only the really bad cases where the board really messed up actually end up in court.
So it's about efficiency, too.
Mm.
Okay. So we've heard the arguments for giving boards this protection, but what about the other side? Why are some people against it?
Yeah, there are some pretty strong arguments against it, too. Some people worry that the business judgment rule gives boards too much power, that it protects them even when they make really bad decisions. Because even directors with good intentions, they can still screw up, and those mistakes can cost shareholders a lot of money.
Yeah, Amex is a perfect example. The court didn't find any evidence that the board acted in bad faith, but the company and its shareholders still lost money.
Right, exactly. And that's where things get tricky. How do you figure out when a board's decision, even if they were trying to do the right thing, crosses the line into being negligent or breaching their fiduciary duty?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Where do you see that line?
It's a blurry line, for sure. And that's why cases like Kamin are so important. They force us to really grapple with these fundamental questions about, you know, who has the power in a corporation.
It sounds like finding that balance is a constant challenge. How has Kamin influenced other legal developments in this area?
Well, Kamin really solidified the business judgment rule as like a cornerstone of corporate law. It reinforced the idea that courts should be very careful about getting involved in business decisions, especially when there's no clear evidence of wrongdoing.
So Kamin made it harder for shareholders to challenge what boards do.
It did. But it's important to remember, Kamin didn't give boards a free pass. The case also showed how important it is for boards to keep good records, to have a solid, transparent process for making decisions.
So boards can't just say, hey, we thought this was a good idea and expect to be protected. They have to be able to back it up.
Exactly. And that's where lawyers come in. Lawyers who advise boards, they need to make sure their clients understand how important it is to keep good records, to have clear reasons for their decisions and a process that everyone can see and understand.
So Kamin, while upholding the business judgment rule, was also kind of like a warning to boards. Be careful, document everything, and be ready to defend your choices.
Exactly. And that message is still being heard in boardrooms today.
Makes sense. All right, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the other big legal concept in Kamin, the shareholder derivative lawsuit.
Yeah, let's explore that. It's a fascinating part of the case.
So we were talking about shareholder derivative lawsuits before, and I got to admit, that's not something I hear about every day.
Yeah, you don't run into them too often. Basically, a derivative lawsuit is when a shareholder sues, but they're suing on behalf of the corporation. The idea is that the company itself was harmed by something the directors or officers did.
Okay, so like in Kamin, the shareholders were basically saying, hey, when the board gave away all those DLJ shares, it hurt American Express, so we're going to fight for the company.
Exactly. It's important to remember the shareholder isn't suing for themselves, you know, to get money in their own pocket. They're suing to get damages that belong to the company.
So it's kind of like the shareholder is a protector, stepping in to shield the company from bad decisions made by its own leaders. But there must be some rules about how these lawsuits work, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. One big one is that the shareholder has to first go to the board and demand that they take action before they can file the derivative suit.
So they have to say, hey, you messed up. You need to fix this.
Yeah.
Why is that step so important?
Well, for a few reasons. It gives the board a chance to, you know, maybe fix things without having to go to court. And it also kind of recognizes that in most cases, the board is in a better position than individual shareholders to decide what's best for the company.
Right. Makes sense. You don't want shareholders going to court every time they disagree with something the board does. But what if the board just says no? What if they refuse to do anything? Does that mean the shareholder can't sue?
Not necessarily. That's where demand futility comes in. If the shareholder can prove that going to the board would be completely pointless, you know, like if most of the board was involved in the wrongdoing, then they can skip that step and go straight to court.
Oh, okay. So there's a way around that rule if the board is basically part of the problem. But I bet it's not easy to prove that going to the board would be pointless.
You're right. It's not. Courts usually give boards the benefit of the doubt. Now, in Kamin, that whole demand futility thing wasn't really a big issue. The court focused more on the business judgment rule and how it applied to what the board did.
So Kamin mainly shows how tough it is for shareholders to successfully challenge board decisions, even with a derivative lawsuit.
Yeah.
They not only have to jump through hoops with this demand requirement, but they also have to overcome the business judgment rule, which, like we've been saying, sets a pretty high bar.
Exactly. Kamin is a good reminder that courts really don't like to interfere with business decisions, even when those decisions don't work out so well.
To wrap things up, what are the most important things for our listeners to remember, especially, you know, if they're advising clients who might be dealing with derivative lawsuits?
Well, first, remember that a derivative lawsuit is about protecting the corporation, not about helping the shareholder personally. Second, understand the rules, especially the demand requirement and how demand futility works. And third, never underestimate the power of the business judgment rule. It's a really strong defense for directors, and to beat it, you need strong evidence of bad faith, fraud, or a clear violation of their duties.
So, Kameen v. American Express, even though it's an older case, is still incredibly relevant today. It gives us a lot to think about in terms of how corporations are governed and how shareholders can hold boards accountable.
Absolutely. It's a case that every corporate lawyer should know inside and out. It really highlights the delicate balance between giving boards the freedom to make decisions and making sure shareholders are protected.
Thanks for taking us on this deep dive. It's been fascinating.
My pleasure. Always a great discussion.
And to all our listeners, thanks for joining us. We hope this deep dive into Kameen v. American Express has been helpful. Until next time.